بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. حضرت يحيى ابن معاذ رحمة الله عليه addressed his people once and he says that Allah Ta'ala has extended an invitation to Darul Salam, the house of peace. One of the names of Jannat is Darul Salam because it's an embodiment of peace. In this worldly abode, you cannot guarantee peace at any moment, at any time. You can be physically at peace, mentally you may be in a turmoil. If your one business is working out well, then your other investment is crashing down. Sometimes if it is your investment that is working out, then your child is letting you down. And if it is that you have got your son settled, you can't find a suitable partner for your daughter. So there's going to be something that's going to make life miserable and easy for you. If there's someone that is supportive of you, then there's someone that is against you. There's going to be a constant, continuous turmoil. If the business has taken a dip, then another business is coming up. Someone is relaxing on a holiday in a beach with all a comfortable environment, relaxed, comfortable, totally at ease. And suddenly he hears his father passed away. So this is the world that you live in. And it is going to happen. So what's going to happen is a reality. You can't avoid a reality. And you can't avoid the occurrence. Come out with an intention of a holiday, packed up, all everything well prepared, organized. And as you just came to the holiday resort, you just unpacked and you thought you would have a swim, and before you knew it, your little infant son had got into some difficulty and he's drowned. So this is a constant thing we hear all the time. It's not something that is isolated, something that is remote. All the time you will hear about these type of stories. Mankind in his folly thinks that this won't happen to me. It can happen to others, but I have got an immunity against all these things here. So obviously that's his folly, that is his naivety, stupidity, to think that it can happen to others and it will not happen to him. Sometimes it happens that the comfort leaves you, and sometimes you have to leave the comfort. Don't you see? Sometimes the comfort leaves you, and sometimes you have to leave the comfort. So the nature of this world is such, it's perishable. It's not lasting, it's not eternal, it's not perpetual. At some point, it has to cut off. Now, when it has to cut off at some point, then it is not a thing that you can put your hopes into. Because if you put your hopes and you invested too much in that, at that moment of separation, it's very difficult. You have put so much into it, and so much into it, and so much into it, mentally, physically, financially, everything you have put into it. And then you have to separate. So it's very difficult. That moment of separation becomes extremely difficult. So Yahya ibn Mu'az rahmatullah alayhi says that see, Allah Ta'ala has extended an invitation to Darul Salam. Now that Darul Salam is an embodiment of peace because it's a name of Jannat. And when it is a name of Jannat and Allah Pak has extended that invitation, then at no time and no moment are you going to suffer any pain, any grief, any worry, any anxiety, any mishap, any accident. At no time it's going to happen. Now, these things cannot be guaranteed in this world. In this life, in this abode, you can't guarantee it. And you want it to happen, it can't happen, it won't happen. Now you heard about a plane, and it's filled in its fuel, and then one tire is jutting out, it can't come inside. So there is a problem here. Passengers are all crying, 300-400 passengers, and that is carrying so much of fuel that it can't just land. And it can't take off to the level that it's supposed to be taking off. No, not in the sky, not in the earth. Both ways. I have to circulate, so many tawafs. So I'm making tawaf of Allah Ta'ala's house, so I have to make tawaf like this. Until all that fuel is exhausted, then they come and land. So, what aspirations these holiday makers may have not had. This aspiration, you do this and that. Can you guarantee these type of mishaps? It won't happen. So Allah Ta'ala says, وَاللَّهُ يَدْعُوا إِلَىٰ دَارِ السَّلَامِ. A home where there's not going to be any type of anxiety, no grief, لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. No worry, no anxiety, no pain, no difficulty, absolutely. Problemless. When Allah Pak says that it is problem free, it will be problem free. When He says it is grief free, it will be grief free. Absolutely no worry, no concern. Now nobody can show me that home. Can anybody show that home? You said no. I'll just get my children up to age, get the marriage finished after my worries finish. So worry didn't finish. Now you're worried about the grandchildren. What are they going to do? And they must go on the right. And suddenly you hear that one child is gone and is associating with the wrong type of company. And then there's a rumor that the child is on drugs. Can you sleep after that? Can't sleep. Even though it's a grandchild. But now, hey, mera izzat ka sawal. What did I do for this child here? Suddenly, I did everything for him. Now he's gone to drugs. Or you hear a story that this child is womanizing. He's flirting with girls. He's doing something wrong. What happens to the parents, to the grandparents? So the home that Allah Ta'ala is inviting us towards is absolutely problem free. No problem at all. No worry, no anxiety, no trouble, no pain whatsoever. Absolutely free. وَاللَّهُ يَدْعُوا إِلَىٰ دَارِ السَّلَامِ. So that Yahya ibn Mu'az says to his people that Allah Ta'ala has extended this invitation. Now when and where from are you going to start this journey? When and from where? Then he says, remember, the time for starting and the place to start this journey is now and at this point. It is from this point and at this time that you commence this journey. He's invited you. And if you're going to have that type of mindset of postponing things, tasweef, I'll do it now, tomorrow. Let me just get my business things all right, settled. Then I'll start off. Then the time may never come. One business venture has just ended, the second one opened up. And the second one just finished and the third one just started off. So this thing is going to be continuous. You're going to be running in circles. One has just finished and the second one. And the second one seems to be even more lucrative and more attractive than the first one. And the carrot is just dangling before you. Now to resist that temptation, you think it's easy. It's not an easy thing. It's very, very difficult to resist that temptation. See, in Islamic history they say that the enemy used force and might against Muslims, but they found that they couldn't make any breakthrough. They used force, they used might, but they couldn't ride over the Muslim. But then they used another weapon. The second weapon they used was wealth and women. when they dangle that carrot before you, then you went for it. In the teaching of Islam, the Shaykh has got an incident. His kitab, the Shaykh has prepared, has got a lot of philosophy and a lot of depth in it. But just that we say, no, it's Talim kitab, now one of those things, let's pass in, carry on. So we haven't shown the respect to these kitabs as they deserve. But really, it's showing human temperament. You know, what's going to be your response? What's going to be your reaction? So these things have been tried and tested. When they threw, when they came with might and main, they couldn't break you. But then they used another weapon that was woman and wealth. Then they broke you, they smashed you down. Woman, wealth, and nowadays it's drugs. So these two things they have used, and they have smashed you down. Well, the Shaykh has got an incident there, that one saintly person, he's got a chopper, and he's going to cut off a tree. So en route, Mr. Shaitan, Mr. Iblis meets him. Where are you off to? The tree that people are worshipping, making puja of this tree. I'm going to chop it off. You're not going to do it. No, I'm going to do it. You're not going to do it. I'm going to do it. Anyway, they have a battle. And in one shot, one stroke, he floors the shaitan. So shaitan told him, see, it's pointless you going to chop off this tree. Now he's using his mantik, his philosophy. It's pointless you cutting off this tree, because you're going to cut off this tree, people will take another tree to worship. They'll find another tree, they'll start worshipping that one. What's the point? A better thing for you is, you know, what I will do is I will leave a Kruger Ann under your pillow. You've got problems, child has to go to school, Islamic school, and then you have to contribute towards the masjid, and you know, medical expenses, not an easy thing nowadays. And you know, besides that, your motor car installments, and the servicing that you require for your motor car. And you know, life is expensive today. It's not a cheap thing. You have to face up to facts, you know. So I'll find a solution for you. The solution is I'll leave a Kruger coin under your pillow all the time. Every day, you'll find one Kruger coin. All your problems will be sorted out. This is in a month, you know. If every day I'm going to leave a Kruger coin, in a month you're going to hit about 400,000 you're going to hit. What problem you have? You're going to have that 400,000 in a month you're going to make. All your problems will be sorted out. You can take that money, you know, who are giving a masjid, in a madrasa, look after your children, everything, your deen, dunya, everything will be taken care of. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana. There was no one left to give him advice, so shaitan had to come and give him advice. Nobody to give him bayans, you see. So shaitan had to take the crutches to give him an advice. He heard the story and he bought the story from shaitan. Hey, what a good idea. Because I'm going to cut the tree down, or this was going to happen. So, kya fayda hua? The better option is this. This is a better option. See, in deen, you have to give that azmat and that ihtiram to deen. No matter what comes your way, then what is the level of respect that you're going to show deen? Can you put off other things? Well, I got this one here to meet. I got this person. So one is a relationship you've got that's purely for Allah Ta'ala. And one is a little bit of an emotional relationship, friends, whatever else, right? So what are you going to give preference to? So if you've got that azmat, you've got that greatness, that respect, that honor, then you're not going to have any type of a dilemma. You're not going to have any type of anxiety, any type of worry. So you know, chalk and cheese. This is my deen. Everything else I can put aside. Everything else I can push aside for my deen. But you're still speculating, deliberating, no, but this will also have a haq. That person also haq. Lizawjika haq. Walizawrika haq. Your wife also has a right. And your guest also has a right. And this person also has a right. So the only wrong thing will be then your deen. The deeny relationship that you have with the person. So then, you understand that that person's commitment to deen is not sound. It's not like it's supposed to be. Either he doesn't have a commitment or he doesn't understand deen. One of the two. If that deeni understanding and deeni commitment is sound, then everything is pushed aside. Everything is pushed aside. Allahji Rahmatullah used to say, speak about this thing, and used to say, Azmat, ye fath hai baab suluk hai. When you have the respect, and you hold the thing in esteem, then this is indicative of the doors opening out. That's azmat. And in the hadith, in the wording of the hadith, look at that hadith of that youngster who carried that milk in his hand the entire night for his parents to get up. He didn't have to do this. But look at the level of respect that he'd shown. I need to show respect to them. I need to show muhabbat for them. He would have done it in some different ways. You know, if you look at it now, today's time, people say, look at your options. The common word, you must weigh your options. One option is, take half the milk, put it into another utensil, and leave it for the children, and half wait for the father or the mother, and let them have it, enjoy it, right? So there's options. But now when a person is overwhelmed with azmat, is overwhelmed with greatness, with respect, this is what Allah Pak looks at. Man yu'azzim sha'air Allah. The one that honors the symbols of Allah Ta'ala. This is what Allah Pak looks at. Otherwise, there's a lot of people doing amal and all that. But the respect, that honor, the regards that you have. What is the level of the regards? What is the level of the respect? Nonetheless, now there is that struggle that is going on, and he pushes the shaitan one stroke and he pushes him down. So now, shaitan, when he offers this, brought water to his mouth. Mouth is watering. What a beautiful thing. And a month and a 400,000 I'm making. I can support the masjid, the imam sahab, everybody's wages, everybody's sorted out. What a great bargain. These people here, is in the taqdeer that they're going to make puja, part and bhut parast and all. They're going to carry on doing it. You're not going to stop them. It's in the taqdeer. See how conveniently, how he employed his mind. Nonetheless, after 1 month, shaitan stopped that supply. See the trap. He just closed the tap. But this is the style of shaitan. Kama thali shaitan is qala lil insani kfur. Shaitan, his modus operandi, his style. How his style is? That he brings you right to the problem. Right to the problem. He brings you right to the edge. It's qala lil insani kfur. He'll get you involved into wrong. And when he got you involved and you in that addiction now, you can't leave that wrong. Addiction doesn't only mean drug. See, when we talk of addiction, you only think of drug, right? There are a lot of other wrongs that we have got an addiction for. Sometimes it's a permissible thing, but it's an addiction. And that addiction is so deep that it distracts you from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's an addiction now. Sometimes it is that you want to entertain guests. Now, in the entertaining of guests, namaz time is being postponed, something else is being left out. It's a common thing that when you want to be too good to everybody, then you have to rob one person to pay the other person. So the simple thing is, by you see to Allah Ta'ala's rights. Everybody else, just respect them according to their positions. It's a wife, it's a child, it's everybody else. So according to their positions, you are respecting them. But Allah Ta'ala's rights, you're not encroaching on. That's His rights. When it's His rights, I'm not encroaching onto His rights. So nonetheless now, when he saw after a month or so that supply had stopped, the taps had closed, shaitan, this is his style. He brings you right to the edge. He brings you to that addiction. And when you are in that addiction, then he makes you dance. Then he creates problems for you. And you can't reverse it. Now you've got marital problems. Before, everything was working out and you were running around, flying around. And you were in cloud 7, like they say nowadays, moving very well. And then all shaitan had to do just to make you dance, just close the tap. And then you'll see yourself. So Shaitan closed the tap and he stopped the supply. Now again, he had to bring up that anger again, that rage into him, you know. Why is the money not coming in? I'm going to go and cut the tree. The people are worshipping Shaitan. They're worshipping the Buddha and all that. Idols and images. I'm going to go and cut them. But now, is the anger for Allah Ta'ala, is it Allah Ta'ala based? Or is it supply based? That anger, is it Allah Ta'ala based or Kruger coin based? See, the base is different now. Before it was something else. Now it's something else. He's got you. He's got you strangled. He's got you cornered. He's got you into a fix. When he gets you into the fix, then he leaves you. I don't know, some of you all may have seen in that aquarium, they've got a fish, you know. And they've got a small little fish over its head. I think they call it a pilot fish. So that pilot fish is like the navigator. You know, you have a navigator, that thing is navigating the whole thing. But it's only one time that I went and seen was Hazrat Mustafa Rahmatullah Ali, and I learnt a lesson of my life there, you know. When I saw that thing, I asked some people, I see this small little fish over there, big fish, there's a big bulk here, and the small fish that's over its head. So they tell me, no, this is the brain. This is a navigator. It's teaching him, it's directing him. But, you know, do you know the other side of this navigator? No, I don't know. So when that navigator senses some type of fear that he will jump onto another fish, he will leave this person on the lurch. Leave him completely, absolutely in the lurch. Let him fight himself, let him die, kill himself. He'll jump onto someone else. So that's Shaitan. So he'll play around with you, he'll navigate you, for all that play and excitement he's there. But when you come into the trouble, he'll bring you right to the trouble's den, right to the lion's den. When he brought you there now, you expose yourself to absolute disaster. And then he will desert you. He'll leave you completely, he'll leave you. Abandon you absolutely. Now this is Mr. Shaitan. كَمَا سَلِ الشَّيْطَانِ إِذْ قَالَ لِلْإِنسَانِ اكْفُرْ فَلَمَّا كَفَرَ قَالَ إِنِّي بَرِيءٌ مِّنْكَ. He will lead you, he will tempt you, he will incite you, he will get you right to the center of the problem. And when you're in the midst of the problem, you're catching it, just about catching it, and then he deserts you. Now, when this person sees that the tap is closed, he's going again to go and cut down the tree. En route again, he meets Mr. Shaitan. Where you off to? I'm off to cut off the tree. Why? Because people are making budparasti, idolatry. So you're not going to do it. I'm going to do it. So again, they get caught up in a battle. Now, one stroke and Shaitan just flaws him down. So he's asking Shaitan now, but in the first round, one stroke and I flawed you down. In the second round, one stroke and you flawed me down. What's the mystery? He says, it's so simple. Before it was Allah Ta'ala based. So you had Allah Ta'ala support. Now it's Kruger and based. So you got Kruger and support. Before, it was Allah Ta'ala's support. Allah Ta'ala was with you. How can anybody challenge Allah Ta'ala? Nobody can challenge Allah Ta'ala. Who's going to challenge Allah Ta'ala? And now it's Kruger support. Kruger support, well, Kruger is perishable, he can break and we'll break him down. See. So this relationship that you have for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is a very priceless relationship. The more you honor it, you respect it, the more you give it that hospitality, the more it will come to you. The plan of Allah ta'ala is, you have to take that initiative. See. Like the hadith says, Ata ilayya, comes to me one hand span, then I come one hand. Comes to me one hand, then I come to him both hands spread. But when you look at the hadith very, very deeply, what you understand that you have to take that initiative, you have to start it off. Are you taking that initiative? Are you starting it off? Or you want Allah Ta'ala just to come to you. So you start it off and you will see Allah Ta'ala coming towards you. I'm just digressing a little bit. And more especially when it is this season of sin and transgression. Don't even call it a mad season. It's a fool season. It's a sinful season. Not a mad season. Mad person is excused, right? A mad person is excused. Because he's mad, not insane. If they take him to court also, they can't do anything to him because he's mad. Irreparable. Can't repair the person. But it's a fool season. It's a sinful season. What wrong the person didn't do throughout the year, he will come and do it just within these days. And then he will justify the wrong that he's doing. You know, Islam is not such a dry religion. It's not a hard and a dry religion. It's got some entertainment, it's got some happiness in it. Who disputes that Islam doesn't have some joy and some cheer? But there is joy and cheer to be done in a certain style, in a certain way. You can't say now because it's a season of joy and cheer, so you can break down all parameters. You go and break down all parameters and drive 200, and they'll jail you up, lock you up. They say, you know, over 170 will lock you up, will imprison you, and you have to appear in court. You say, no, it's a season of cheer, it's a season of rejoicing, celebrating. So how can you be so hard? They'll tell you, this is the law, we'll have to imprison you. See? So you can have your jeer and your joy, but within parameters. And the parameter is this, that you don't want to celebrate with this kuffar, with a fujjar. They are celebrating. It's a kafir style. It's a kafir place. It's full of shirk, kufr and disbelief. They're splashing around drinks, women, everything is happening. And you, in the center of all these things here, what are we supposed to be doing? In this type of time, then I found that there isn't a safer place, either the home or the masjid. The home or the masjid. Let this whole sinful time just pass off. Every type of sin, you know, every vestige of sin is completely finished and exhausted. Then you come out. Then it's a safe time. See, it's a, you know, you're asking for trouble. You are provoking the anger of Allah Ta'ala as though you're inviting it. And when people are provoking the anger of Allah Ta'ala, then you want to be around that type of people. So if that punishment that will come like a tsunami, if it wipes you off your feet. Then just after the season passes, now you'll say, you know, before there was so much of enthusiasm, so much of yearning, and I could do things so easily. It was automatic for me just to close and shut off my eyes. It was automatic for me to go and perform my namaz with jamaat. Everything was just coming out naturally. And now everything is just colliding, everything is just going on a collapse. I can't find that motivation. I can't find that jeer. I can't find that motivation. I can't find that strength in me to do what I need to do. So now, this type of a period, it's a period to be very, very cautious, very, very afraid. Because you don't know when that thing is going to strike. How is it going to strike? Where is it going to strike? When is it going to strike? And everybody is out like that. Everybody is asking Allah about punishment. Mata hadal wa'du in kuntum sadiqin. As though you are saying it with your actions, what you are saying to Allah Ta'ala, mata hadal wa'd. You know, your Nabi is speaking about punishment coming in the face of wrong and in the face of all this type of transgression. So Allah Ta'ala, where is the punishment? You are talking about the punishment, where is it? So it's as though you're provoking, you're asking trouble, asking for trouble. So the simplest thing at that time is you staying in your home or the masjid. In the home or the masjid. And in my understanding, I don't know, others may have better understanding than me about this type of seasons, but I think the most of these wrongs take place either in December, say mid-January, and perhaps Easter. These are the three periods that all this vice will take place. Who's stopping you to go and cheer and enjoy yourself afterwards, complete out of season, out of fitna places? What in places where people are naked, people are inviting you towards wrong? There are permissible places, can't we go to permissible places? Younger children, I tell them a little bit with a little bit of sense of humor, I tell them the same thing, but I tell them, see, wherever you're going to go, you're going to get these five things. You're either going to get people, you're going to get stones, you're going to get sand, you're going to get water, you're going to get some trees and vegetation, and you're going to have some type of animals, right? And you'll have bodies of water, right? Tell me, in any place that you're going to go for holidays, you'll have anything against this format. It'll be in different formats. But the same 16, 17 you'll find. Whether it's the Bergs, whether it is the Himalaya mountain, whether you went to the furthest part of America, Australia, you'll find the same things. But just in different formats you'll find it. Anything different. Anything besides this 516. The format may be different, but it'll be just between or amongst these 516s. Can't you just condition your mind? Okay, I'll see the same thing whether I'm here, I'm there, I'm Cape Town, or Malagasy, Amlazi, wherever I am, I want to see the same things. But then, where will you have the status symbol that I've been to Cape Town and I spent 10,000 rand a night for that hotel? Where will you have the status symbol? And you know, I flew first class for Umrah and I came back first class, you know. So then what is it for? Is it for real pleasure, enjoyment, happiness, status? What is it for? Simple thing, by look at simple thing. Islam is a simple religion and it will show you simple procedures, simple solutions. احفظ الله يحفظك. Rasulullah is teaching a youngster, Ibn Abbas, who is very dear to him. And Nabi Sallam has made dua for this child. This child must become a child with understanding of the Quran, the depths of the Quran. He must understand the Quran from its depths. So the message Nabi Sallam is passing on to him, احفظ الله يحفظك. If you can just take this one lesson at home, I think it's enough for our entire lives. This is Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. When he's given one message, it's so packed, you know, it's so packed. It will take you a whole lifetime, in fact, 100 lives to unpack what he's got packaged here. All he's telling you, take care of Allah Ta'ala and He'll take care of you. Do you need anything else? All he asked you, take care of me and I will take care of you. It's so easy, it's so simple, so precise. He's not taking you in circles, right? Coming straight to the point, take care of me and I'll take care of you. Is that difficult? Is that difficult to understand? Yes, if we get ourselves entangled into this life, into the systems, right, then definitely it will be a difficulty. This type of rental, that type of flights, I have to go to Umrah, I have to go to do this, I have to buy this type of car. Right? Then you want that type of life, you're entangling yourself. Then definitely you will get entangled. You'll find reasons to have that type of money to support that type of lifestyle. Obviously, you want to have that, you want to fly so high. So you need that type of money to support that type of lifestyle. One person comes to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and he says, لَإِنْ أَعْطَانَ اللَّهَ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ لَنَصَّدَّقَنَّ وَلَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. Oh, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, make dua for me. That if Allah Ta'ala ever blesses me, then I will become righteous and I will just spend, you know, avenues and avenues. I will just keep spending. In atana Allahu min fadli, lanasaddaqanna wa lanakunanna min as-salihin. Now see the answer that Rabbi Salam gives him. Qaleelan tashkurunahu khayrun min qaleelun tashkurunahu khayrun min kathirin la tutiqunahu. The little that you got, that you are grateful, is far, far better than the much that you have, that you don't have the type of strength to manage it, and to show the type of gratitude that it requires. You've got the little, you're managing well, understanding, everything is going very well, but enjoy it, take it, go on with your life. Now you want so much, then you won't be able to manage the rights, the duties, the obligations that come with it. You won't have it. You've got it, so your spirits are very well. You're moving. And you don't have it, you get into a depression. I don't have it. So what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is telling you, that little that you've got, and you're breaking even, right? Chalti ki naam gari. You got enough, you're moving on. It's far better than having so much that you don't have the strength and the capacity to be able to manage it. That's why the hadith says, which wealth is best? Which wealth is best? Everybody likes wealth. When you look at our lifestyles, everybody. I ask anybody, I say, see, if I come up, you know, with a proposition that anybody gives me R1,000,000, then I'll give him a guaranteed return of 200%. Anybody will refuse it here. I say, if anybody doesn't have the money, I don't know how he'll get something from Al Baraka Bank. He'll get it. 200%. How he'll work his mind? 200%, 200%. That thing is going to ring in his mind. But what Nabi Sam is telling you, take that little and be grateful. Then taking that so much that you won't manage it. So he's telling you from different avenues, different ways, he's telling you, but take that little, enjoy it, be grateful. The hadith again is saying, that person who has a little bit of wealth, then he had a great amount of time engaged in namaz. Then, summa nafada, then he just slipped and he's gone. Very few people are crying over him. Little people that perform his namaz, but not a great person, but a great person he is. Again, he's talking about that lack of wealth, little wealth. But his whole focus was on namaz, then he just left. How people didn't even know that he passed away. And people don't even know him, he's not a popular person, he just left. Qalilun bawaqihi. Very little people are crying over him. Then again the hadith says, that which wealth is the best? We say, like, we like wealth, don't we say? And really, to like wealth is natural. We can't stop a person from liking wealth. That we won't say it's haram. Just to like wealth is not haram, right? Otherwise, if to like wealth was haram, then I could have told you, you know, you come to my house, I'll feed you. I can't tell you to enjoy the meals. Because that means that you must enjoy material. Then enjoying material is haram. So you can't enjoy the meal. You must not enjoy the meal. That's what I must tell you. So to enjoy wealth is permissible. The impermissibility is coming on a different line. But what I'm showing you here is what wealth is the best. When you want something, you want the best, isn't it? Car, then the best. The wife, then the prettiest. Huh? Right. The building, then the best finishes. The food, the tastiest. So in everything we want, and we want the best. So then why don't we engage our minds, what is the best type of wealth? In everything we want the best. Wife the best, clothing the best, food the best, the tastiest, everything the best. So then which type of wealth is the best? Now, one is I pass a decision, and what is the decision of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? His decision is that it mustn't be so much that it makes you proud, and it mustn't be so little that you have to extend your hands before anybody. You're not asking for a handout, but by the same token, it's not so much that will make you proud and arrogant. So this person is promising Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and promising Allah Ta'ala that if I get this, then I'll spend in all these avenues. فَلَمَّا آتَاهُمْ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ Nabi Sam is telling him that it's not the right thing. And he says, no, it's going on and on. Nabi Sam explains to him again for the second time, see, if I wish, then these mountains that you see around, Medina, Munawara, Uhud, you see all these mountains, all will become in gold, they'll be moving with me. تَسِيرُ مَعِي It'll walk, it'll travel with me. So, أَمَا لَكَ فِيَّ قُدْوَةً Is there not an example for you in my lifestyle? I wanted these things could have been changed into gold and they could have been walking with me. But is there not an example for you in my lifestyle? He says, no, Nabi Sam, I want it. And when Nabi Sam told him, see, you've got a lot, you'll not be able to manage it. And he wants it. And he's insisting he wants it. Then Nabi Sam made the dua for him. As he's insisting now, he made the dua for him. Now, his wealth and property is all growing. Prosperity. Before he had perhaps 100 sheep, now he has 1,000 sheep. So he needs better pastures. He can't use the Medina pastures for his 1,000 flock. And now he's multiplying to 10,000. So he needs to go even further out. When he's going even further out, first he was just coming for one namaz a day. Now he can't even come for one namaz. He's only coming in for the Jummah. Now he's gone to 100,000, so he has to go even further out, so he can't even come for the Jummah. But now, the namaz with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in Madina Munawwara, in Masjid al-Nabawi, I ask you, is it worth the while? Is it worth the while? This wealth, this is what it has done to him. It has pushed him out of the masjid, brought him first from one namaz, then five namazes, then has thrown him out from the Jummah. Then he can't even come and visit Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. فَلَمَّا أَعْطَاهُمْ مِنْ فَلَسِ. This is what happens. You won't be able to manage it afterwards. The type of obligation, the appreciation, the gratitude that you need to show for it, the right type of management that you require for that, you don't have that hour, you don't have that understanding. But you don't have that type of maturity, that little that you have got is far better for you. Remember with that wealth is answerability. Our Buzugan Adin style was, you've got it, you enjoy it. And as I say, enjoying it is not haram. And when I say it's not haram, see, the Quran Sharif says, زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ. This is within your temperament that you see good things and you enjoy it. Good food, you enjoy it. It's a good wife, you enjoy. It's a good home, you enjoy. So, enjoying it and having a liking for these type of things is not haram. So then, what is not right? What is not in conformity? You're saying, alright, world and all that temptation, etc. What's not right? So there's two things that are not right. وَطْمَأَنُّ بِهَا وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ آيَاتِنَا غَافِلُونَ. One is this, وَطْمَأَنُّ بِهَا. Number two, أَحَبَّ إِلَيْكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِ. In any given situation, where are you going to draw the line? Who are you going to prefer? Marroom Rahmatullah Alayhi says, Marroom Rahmatullah's kitab is a book of illustrations, right? So, we're not supposed to be just impressed with the stories. Rather, what's the moral? There's a moral behind the story. Like we just look at the story, the excitement, and then finish. But that is for that child. The child was just look at the story, look at its face value, just look at the excitement and carry on. But I'm grown up now, 35, 40, 45, you can't just look at the excitement. That's why we become addicts to videos and to films, because we have styled our minds just to excitement. Excitement, adventure, exploring, picnicking. So we just have conditioned our mind to all these things here. So we just want to be in these things. So Marroom Rahmatullah gives an explanation to this. See, ahabba ilikum. One is complacency. You can't become complacent. You can't become complacent. It's just a thing that you need to enjoy. When it's a thing to be enjoyed, then the example for it, the illustration for it, in my own words, is you're working in a company, right? And the company gives you a time for break and recreation. Big companies, a little bit of recreation, and a little bit of a chance they give you to have a little bit of a lunch. So the whole day, your whole focus, your whole fikr is lunch and recreation. You're talking, making fikr, hey, you know, lunch, you'll eat like this. And you know, we're going to be having some recreation and we're going to be playing ball there. And you know how we're going to work ourselves, you know. So the whole fikr is diverted from the business onto this recreation or this food. If the boss, he perceives this, what's going to happen to the boss? He said, but he's got no fikr for my work. He's come here for my work. And his whole fikr is about the break, or the whole fikr is about the recreation. So my business, it doesn't mean anything. It's insignificant. It doesn't mean anything to him. How is he going to take it? If you're the boss, are you going to take it casually? But he's come to my business, and from the time that he steps in right till the end, he's worried about that ball game. Who's going to be taking which positions? Or he's worried about preparing that lunch. You know, you're going to get this thing here, we're going to buy this thing here, order this food here, you got this toast, right? The toasting machine is right, and the stove is right, and the tea is the right texture, the right tea you bought. Where you bought it from, the masalas were right. So his whole figure is on that. And just for namesake, he's just showing his face on the, in your business. But will you appreciate this? I ask you, will you appreciate this? Then how do you expect Allah Ta'ala to appreciate you? This is the factory of Allah Ta'ala. In this factory, the whole time, what I'm going to earn, and what money is outstanding, what I must get from that person, and why he's not paying me, I need to step up this business of mine, get my business projections higher than what it was before. The whole fikr is just around this. Just around this. So then how do you expect Allah Ta'ala to be happy? You won't be happy with that person. So when you're not happy, it's alright. You're not happy, then you say, no, it's an accepted thing, I'm paying him for it. But what didn't Allah Ta'ala pay you for? He paid you everything. Everything that's in you is from him. When everything in you is from him, then what don't you owe him? Mu'arum is giving another example. This is complacency. I'm showing you an example, an illustration for complacency. He's giving an illustration for muhabbat, love. One person saw a pretty girl that he never seen in his life, right? Type of face, whatever he saw, never seen something like that. So he pursued her. Now she makes out of some distance, okay, this person is coming after me. So she turned around before she can get into danger. So she turns around, asks, what's wrong, boy? Say, no, I'm infatuated. Main to teri mohabbat mein to maghloob ho gayi hoon. Maghloob ho gaya hoon. I'm drowned in your love. I can't leave you. Inseparable. I'm dead without you. So deep, so deep. It's you or my life. One of the two. I can't see myself living without you. I'm so deep. I don't want to see anybody. I'm drowned in you completely. And I can't move my eyes off you. So anyway, this girl, she took a few steps and then she says, but you know what, just for your information, a few steps behind me is my sister, and she is 20 times prettier than me. The figure, the configuration, everything, look at her, 20 times prettier than me. So he takes a U-turn, so this one I give him one slap. Just like you said that you are infatuated, you drowned my love, you can't take your eyes off me. I had to just show you something, and straight away you took a U-turn. So, really, you are not for me. You haven't given yourself for me. So what Allah Pak wants is the same thing. أَحَبَّ إِلَيْكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. That you like all these things, we understand, we have created you, we understand how we have created you, we understand your temperament, we understand your nature, that you will like these things. But all I want to see is that no way, at no moment, you're going to prefer anything over me. You're going to prefer me to everything at any situation. Any given time, you're going to prefer me. At any given moment, it's me. Everything else will come in its place, in its time. But are you preferring me in any situation? In every situation, are you preferring me? He is the designer of the world. So when you told Allah Ta'ala that I love you, that is going to create some type of challenges to see whether you are true or not. This woman also put this person into a trial. As stupid as she is, right? She's naqisatul aql. But she feels that she's got a right to put this man into a trial. To prove his love. To prove his faithfulness. To prove his loyalty. Now when the stupid woman, she's got the right to test the person that loves her, then doesn't Allah Ta'ala have a right also to prove you? That you must prove your love. You must prove your faithfulness. You must prove your loyalty. Doesn't he have a right? So nonetheless, this is a very long chapter. We just branch off in this dunya. And because of this, perhaps this stupidity and this foolishness, this sin that is going around, my mind is a little bit worked up. And I say, before the tsunami comes and strikes, we don't become a victim of the tsunami. The easiest thing is stay at home or masjid. Oh God, in Jamaat. One of these three places. But don't move around. Don't hang around. It's such, it will wipe you off. Don't you think that I can go to the souk and I'll be very free and very clear. Nothing is going to stop me. Don't ever think like that. You don't go and gamble. Don't go and risk your iman. You know, when they talk about Dajjal, what's the meaning of Dajjal? Dajjal means, when there is a golden plating over metal, a sheet or an iron, and over that sheet and iron you got a gold plating, right? So that's Dajjal. So the outside of Dajjal seems to be very, very polished. It seems to be very glittering. That's the outside. And today's world is like that. Everything from the outside leaks seems to be very polished. The language is very polished. Thank you. and sir, and congratulations, compliments, my sympathies, so all, everything is just polished language. Polished language or polished finishes. But within, is there any haqiqat in it? There's no love in it. There's no understanding, there's no muhabbat, there's no loyalty. So this Dajjal is like a personification of this today's world. He's a reflection of today's world. That everything must be just glittering, polished, looking very well, attractive, just from the outside. Inside, whatever rubbish you have packed in, it's alright. Whatever you put in the chicken, that filth, that dirt you put in, it's alright. But outside, it looks so nice. The chishtas look so nice, packed up so well. So everything must look very polished. So this is like a reflection of Dajjal. But in that whole Dajjal thing, the Bishop is advising us, is cautioning us. فَلْيَنْأَ مِنْهُ When you hear about Dajjal, then you keep away. You keep away, because you will feel that I've got Iman, and I can stand up to the challenge. But you don't realize that you don't have that type of resistance, you don't have that strength, you don't have that type of clout that you can resist. So you just keep away. So when all this thing is just the prelude, it's an introduction of Dajjal and Shaitan, but you keep away. So the safer thing is be in the masjid, at home, or be in the jamaat, just be involved around this thing, around this time here. That is the only solution that I see for safety. Otherwise, you can just be, pushed. You're going to be moved, and you don't know whether you'll get up again. So what we are talking about today, we started off with this Yahya ibn Mu'az, rahmatullah alayhi, and his advice. So his admonition is that when and where are you going to start off this preparation? Because Allah Pak has invited you to this Darul Salam. When He's invited you to this Darul Salam, from when and where are you going to start off this journey? He says the right time for starting off this journey is now and this point. From this point here, you're going to start off this journey. And thereafter he goes on to say, and if you're going to postpone this, the sweep, today, tomorrow, my business must come right, everything must come right, then I'll start off. Then it may be postponed to such a point that the maut will be hovering over your head. When the maut is hovering over your head, right, sicknesses are coming, everything is collapsing within you, you don't have the time to build up that castle of the hereafter. At that time then you want to say, I'll do this and I'll do this. But it's not the time now, it's finished, the game is almost up. Although you may get some reward from the hereafter, because it was before your death, but you won't get that type of jannat that you would like in the dunya. Don't we have that mindset? I want the best. Not Spingo must be Balito, not Balito, La Lucia must be in this type of hotel. Don't we have that? So then, why are we not fair? See this being not fair, this is the right thing. This is the thing, this is the missing element in our lives. When I say this is the thing that is missing in our lives, then this thing revolves around sincerity, ikhlas. Ikhlas is truth. Ikhlas is truth. And the missing element, when I study life, when I look at life, then the missing element is sincerity. And the sincerity, in the words of Hazratji Rahmatullah Ali, he says, to get these things right, what you need in your life is dhun or dhyan. These buzurugs, Allah Pak be have mercy with them, but they made it so easy. That we thought that tasawwuf is such a simple thing, but they just jam-packed everything up. In these 2 words, he packed it up. It's the barakat of them being the lovers of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that Allah Pak gave them that type of brains. He said, the whole thing is just around these 2 words, what? Dun or dhyan. But understand what is the meaning of the dun and dhyan. The dun and dhyan, the closest English translation I can bring it up to, one is focus. But focus with an obsession. It's not just focus, but focus with an obsession. That obsession doesn't just come like that. You have to build yourself up to that obsession, right? It won't just come like that. I got an obsession for the beach, right? It's not just going to come like that. I'm not going to be sitting in Transvaal and say I'm obsessed about the beach. I'll have to do something to see that really am I truthful in saying that I'm obsessed about the beach. So the focus with an obsession. Now, when he says focus with an obsession, dun and dhyan, this will bring you to ikhlas. Right? And this is a shart-e-adi. See, you get two types of shart. One is a condition, and if that condition is not meted, then that act will be invalid. Like a precondition for namaz is wuzu. Without the wuzu, namaz is invalid. Right? That is a real condition. But another condition is, it's conditional according to our understanding. It's just a condition adatan, you know. Because of our usage, because of our understanding, we say it's a condition. Like, for example, we say, you know, in order for me, or in order for a person to go for Hajj, he needs a valid passport, a ticket, a valid visa, then he can go for Hajj, right? But that's a shart-e-adi. It's possible that by some miracle or something, someone just gets up to Makkah Mukarramah, right? He makes the Hajj, and he goes, he finishes the 5 days of Hajj, and he comes back without a passport. It's happened and people have done it, right? So it can happen. You will not say now because he didn't have a passport, he didn't have a valid visa, he didn't have a ticket, so his Hajj is not valid. Can you say that? Because he didn't have a passport, because he didn't have a valid visa, because he didn't have a ticket, therefore his Hajj is invalid. Can you say that? No. So it's a shart, it's a condition under normal circumstances, right? Under normal circumstances, it's a shart. So this dun and dhyan, it's a shart under normal circumstances. If you want to reach, then you have to have the dun and dhyan. Like in a madrasa, under normal circumstances, to be a successful student, then you have to be punctual, you have to cover up the assignments, you have to do the dor, takrar, listen to the teacher, etc. for the duration of time. If you do all that, inshallah, you'll be a successful student, right? You'll be able to cope with those kitabs, manage those works, etc. It's a shart, under normal circumstances, it's a shart. But it is not a shart, it's not a thing that is conditional to this. Because you find people that became hafiz of their own. They didn't go through an ustad, they didn't go through a teacher, they didn't have to be punctual into a class, whatever else. But they became hafiz, and they became hafiz of their own. So it's not a condition, aqlan, you know. Intellectually it's not a condition. But according to usage, and according to the normal norm, according to the norm, you have to follow this thing here to get up to that. So in this whole tasawuf, when you look at the whole thing, just in one single glance, you know, give me one single word, and I can hold on to this. Sahaba Kiram also told me something about Islam. I can just hold to this and I can move on. قُلْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقِيمُ. Nabi Sallam also gave them certain short dosages, you know, all packed up, so well packed up. You just follow that and you're moving. So yeah, this Buzurgana Deen is giving you something in a small dosage, but it's so forceful, so powerful, you hold on to it and you're moving. So the two words he's given is focus with an obsession. And the same focus with an obsession, I'm translating it as ikhlas. But then ikhlas, understand it in the true frame of the word, true sense of the word, understand it, right? When you're going to be having this focus with an obsession, then every step of the road, you're going to be concerned. You're not going to be unconcerned. وَهُمْ أَنْ آيَاتِنَا غَافِلُونَ. You're not going to be absent-minded. You're going to be concerned at every step of the road. Now, for example, you bought a new car, right? New car you bought. Now look at it. When you got an ikhlas, how is going to be your behavior? And minus ikhlas, what's going to be your behavior? Without ikhlas, your behavior will be, you know, I bought this car, you know, it's a 1 million job, and I need to impress my friends, you know. How are they going to know, you know, I am so and so, I am this motor, I am this business, I am this man here. So I must take it to the masjid, at least they'll respect me, you know. They must respect me. I'm an elderly person now. I'm the bigger brother. So they must respect me. I'm America. America is the bigger brother, isn't it? So I must be respected. So how are they going to respect me if they don't know what I got? So I must take it to the masjid and they'll see what I've got and all that. 1 million rand job I've got. And I paid cash for it, you know. And they'll show so much of respect for me. So that is one frame of mind. See. And the other frame of mind is, you know, I was not eligible for anything. I was not entitled to this. 1 cent I was not entitled to, because I see myself the wrong, the misery, the mess up that I make. No. It was just the blessing of Allah Ta'ala. Perhaps it was my parents' du'as or my seniors' du'as and my parents' du'as, you know. And because of their du'as, etc., perhaps Allah Pak just took mercy upon me and granted this to me. So when He's granted this to me, so the first thing I need to do is take it to the masjid, go to the masjid and offer some rakats of appreciation as a token of appreciation. Allah, I'm not worthy of it at all. Really, I'm not worthy. I don't deserve it. 1 second, I don't deserve it. But I need to show you appreciation. So with that appreciation, you'll come to the masjid and you'll say, Allah, I didn't appreciate. I'm not worthy of this. I don't deserve this. But oh Allah, I ask you for 3 things. Allah, let me use it for your pleasure. You have given it to me. You have given it to me. And I feel so happy about it. So let me please you. You have pleased me, O Allah Ta'ala. Then give me the tawfiq. Give me the grace to please you as well. As you have pleased me this day, then give me the strength that I can please you, or somehow or the other I can please you. I know I can't do it of my own. You will do it for me. So you have pleased me, O Allah Ta'ala. Give me the tawfiq of pleasing you. Number two, O Allah Ta'ala, let this not be a trial for me. It can become a trial. One day some pride, some arrogance, something can come to my mind. O Allah, let this not be a trial for me. And O Allah Ta'ala, let this be a means of safety. That wherever I go, I'm safe. I'm going safely. I'm coming back, returning safely. So you will make all these type of du'as, and then you will go to, then you will use this mudrakah. So you see, when you've got that dun and dhyan, then you're going to be inspecting yourself. At every step of the road, you're going to be inspecting yourself. You're not going to be doing things randomly. You're not going to be fikrless. Can't find an English word for fikrless. You won't be heedless. You won't be heedless. You're going to be at every step. Because when you say at every step of the mark, you're going to have, every step of the path, you're going to be having fikr. It's sort of you saying to Allah Ta'ala that when I swore the oath of allegiance in namaz to you, in my namaz I said, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. Right? I worship you. So that, what are you saying, Allah Ta'ala, that I am going to serve you? That's what you told. And you promised him in every rakat of every namaz. If you read 20 rakats in the day or 50 rakats in the day, in every rakat of every namaz, you're repeating this oath of allegiance, Allah Ta'ala, I'm going to serve you. And when you say I'm going to serve you, then what you are saying, you are serving him 24/7. That's what you are saying. Then when you're serving him 24/7, then you're going to look within yourself. Am I really serving him? Or I have taken this oath in the presence of Allah Ta'ala, and then I just went out of the masjid and I broke that oath. See? That means I'm dishonest. That means I'm not sincere. I'm insincere. Had I been sincere, then I would have been sincere about this oath that I have taken, this oath of allegiance. Allah, I told you, I declared before you that I serve you alone. I don't serve anything else. I don't serve my egos. I don't serve my pride. I don't serve people. I don't serve any other buts. The one that I serve is you. So when I serve you, then you have blessed me with this, so this I'm going to use it. Right? Now you are coming to the masjid. I'm showing a real life situation. You're coming to the masjid, right? When you're coming to the masjid, you're seeing that you don't have any offensive smell. Putting on a good kurta, clean, right? Applying some type of ether. Right? And then you're coming gracefully to the house of Allah Ta'ala. With this frame of mind that, you see, I'm coming to the house of the beloved. Right? I'm coming to the house of the beloved, so there's going to be something, there must be something that the beloved will like, you know. I'll put the nice attar, I'll put the nice kurta, I'll dress up nice, I won't have any offensive smell in me. So something will just attract the attention of the beloved. See, now this can happen when you have got the dun, that focus is there. But if that focus is not there, well, I'm going to the masjid now, and en route to the masjid, I'm talking, making jokes, not worried, casually, got some cassette on. So do I have the focus of the person that I'm going to meet? I don't have that focus. So that focus, if the focus is there, then there's a focus without any type of an obsession. That is not value. You are going to render a service, right? You are going to offer something to Allah Ta'ala. When you're saying rendering a service, then you are going to offer something to Allah Ta'ala. It's a gift that you are giving to a friend, right? That gift that you're going to give to a friend, right? You're not going to put it into any type of old shoebox and just say, to take it, no? Are you going to do that? A scrap shoebox, old something was lying there 50 years ago. There was nothing for it. So why let it go to waste? I'm giving a gift to this friend here. Let me just put it into this shoebox and let me just throw it to him. Would you do that? No. See, I wasn't in need of that. So when you wish to give me something, then give it to me with respect. Now you're coming to Allah's house, and anyhow you're doing the ruku. You are preparing that gift, but casually, without any type of fikr, no concern, no worry. When you're doing it without any worry, any concern, you don't have that type of focus, and that namaz has been taken as a dirty rag, that is thrown back to you. You see, fikrless, heedless. But you got that fikr, now you're cleaning yourself. It's an invitation to the beloved. And that it's a chance for me, it's an occasion for me to offer a gift to Allah Ta'ala. And that gift that is being offered to Allah Ta'ala, how it needs to be packaged, how it's supposed to be prepared and worked out. So at every step, you're concerned about it. At every step, you are wondering how to repackage it, how to improve it. I gave this the last time, and now I'm coming in again, and how can I improve on it? Because you want that relationship to deepen all the time. You don't want it to remain at one level. It must progress all the time. It must progress. It must improve all the time. And for it to improve, then I need to make that fikr. Allama Ibn Qayyim rahmatullahi alayhi, he says, that namaz that is done with miswak, the reward of it is multiplied 70 times over than that namaz that is done without miswak. But what is the reason? Why is this reward multiplied 70 times over? Both performed now. He performed namaz 4 rakats. He performed namaz 4 rakats. He did wuzu. But this person that did the namaz with that miswak, then the reward is multiplied 70 times over. What was the reason? So he says that that person was more concerned. He was more focused. See, and because of his focus, his reward is multiplied. See that focus. On account of that focus, and that focus was serious. I can't perform my namaz without my teeth being clean. Without my mouth having an offensive smell. I need to come in. And without an offensive smell. Now, you come to your wife, for example, and she's got a foul smell. What happens? One buzurg, I won't take his name, right? But these things are so sensitive, you know, so sensitive, that in that first week that he had to meet his wife, and she sneezed or something, and some of the dirt just came out of the nose. Just, you know, that buzurg was so sensitive, he kept her for the rest of his life. He showed her the respect, the mahabbat, everything. But he says that that tasawwur would come into my mind every time. And I couldn't just enjoy that marital life. But I couldn't say it to her, because it was no fault of hers, right? But in himself, he's so sensitive that one time he saw the dirt out of the nose, and then he couldn't have that type of enjoyment with his wife. But now you see, now the relationship is with who? With Allah Ta'ala. And when it's with Allah Ta'ala, is he going to tolerate this type of smells? So how cautious? What is going to be the level of focus?